So when we look at Acts chapter 22, we see that Paul is dealing with the results of being in Jerusalem when God really told him not to go. He told him not to go, and then he had other believers working with him, reminding him, Paul, not good to go. And so he had to go, and his mind and heart, he just felt so moved that he, regardless of what would happen, he wanted to go to Jerusalem, and he did. And so he was arrested, and so this chapter 22 kind of picks it up here during this event where the multitude's there. He's been arrested. He says, hey, I'm a Roman. Says in the previous chapter here, but Paul said, I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, suffer me or allow me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. And so this starts chapter 22, and this is what Paul says. He says, men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that, he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. Obviously, this impressed them. He must have been a man of note for him to be able to speak in the Hebrew tongue. I am verily, verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, Jerusalem, they're in Jerusalem, and he says, I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as you all are this day. You know, at this point here, for him to have a background of growing up, his education being in Jerusalem, it's like the Harvard, okay, of that time. And Gamaliel was like the main guy. If you could see at his feet, he was the very, very best. So Paul had some unique credentials in his educational background. And so he shares this with this group of people, large group of people. And he goes on and says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Paul was a Pharisee, and he persecuted the early church, the Christian church. He was responsible for putting them in prison, for seeing some people put to death even. Men and women, verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus. So he was going to go to Damascus and put some more Christians in prison, and he had letters of the hierarchy, the Jewish hierarchy, to do so, to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Well, what Paul's doing, he's telling his testimony, his story, how he became a Christian. And of course, he was an enemy of the Christian at this point, what he's talking about here. And so One thing we can learn from this is a lot of times if you're witnessing to people, they want to hear about you. You know, we want to share the word with people. But before we share the word, many times people want to know, well, who are you, you know, that you can share the word with me? What's your background? How come you're a believer? And that's good. That's our testimony. And that's something that we should all think about as we live our life, we grow as Christians, as to be prepared to share, if we're going to share the gospel with other people, be ready to share your background, your story of how you got into the Word, how you became a Christian. And this is what Paul's doing here. So he's going through Damascus, verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. So Paul, as he's with a group of people, obviously, going through Damascus, and all of a sudden this light shines out of heaven, and this voice comes out, calling his name, and who is it but Jesus Christ? So Jesus Christ calls him out and challenges him. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. So the people that were with them, they probably were shocked too, this light that came out, but they didn't hear the voice of Jesus when he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me thou? Me. And they that, and I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. But, you kind of wonder, well, what's going on in Paul's mind when this happened? And of course, he's sharing a record that is earlier in Acts. I think it's chapter 9, I'm guessing. But earlier in Acts, there's the record of this happening. And you kind of wonder, Paul must have had some things working in his heart that he would all of a sudden recognize this voice, Jesus of Nazareth, and call him Lord, and would be meek to that voice. And he saw all these Christians, how they would take a stand. And so a lot of things must have been going through his heart. But he evidently reached a point that his heart was open enough to the Lord. And when I could not see, verse 11, for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked up upon him. So his sight came back to him. Verse 14, and he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So God really made it available for him to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ had died, right? He was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. God raised him from the dead. He was 40 days in his resurrected body, working with the disciples. And then, as recorded in the book of Acts, he ascended up into heaven, right? To be at the right hand of God. So, not too many other records where he is involved in outreach and talking to people. But he did, evidently, in this particular situation, talking to Paul. Okay. So, let's see, where are we? 15, yeah. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, as the King James, or I was focused. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So earlier in the book of Acts here is that record where Paul was involved in the death of Stephen, who died being stoned to death, and Paul was right there being involved in that situation. In verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So here's Paul. He's telling his story, and he's hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ a number of different times here, as he tells us. And now we move on to verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. So the people got all riled up in light of what Paul told them. They were not going to buy it. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. You know, they wanted to find out, why are these people so vindictive against you, Paul? Why do they hate you so much? That's what they wanted to find out. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yep, I am. And the chief captain answered with a great sum, obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. You know, as a Roman citizen, you were not to be bound unless you were taken to court. I mean, it's kind of like the laws today. The police can't just throw you in jail. They have to take you to court, and because you have rights as a citizen. Same thing here with Paul being a Roman. So they were a little tentative there how they were going to treat Paul. Well, verse 30, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And now, the next chapter is Paul is before this council and dealing with the high priest and continues on. Eventually, Paul will be taken to Rome there to testify, but he'll be imprisoned for the rest of his life for the most part. And so all this occurred, and it's unfortunate for Paul that he did not heed what God had told him, that not to go to Jerusalem. And why he was so intent to go, I don't know. But, you know, he was obviously had a background there. He was educated there. His heart went out to the Jewish people there. Obviously backfired. God knew what he was talking about and telling him not to go. But it is interesting to note, and we'll be reading, you know, some more about Paul, that God didn't forsake Paul. Because he screwed up here, didn't mean that God was finished with him. In fact, as time goes on, there's some great things happening, and people are brought to Christ, and he writes the church epistles when he's in Rome. Many of the church epistles that we have in our Bible here were written after this particular event. And so God continued to work with Paul. And what can we learn from that? I mean, do we make mistakes? Do we screw up sometimes? Do we maybe God's telling us something and we don't do it? Does that mean it's over with, that God's going to forsake us and he's done with us? No, no. God's never done with believers. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. That's why he's got forgiveness, right? So we need to recognize the value of who we are in Christ. And it behooves us to be our best for him. And if we make any mistakes, if we miss it, we can get right back into God's good graces, and God can work many wonderful things for us. So something that I trust all of us can learn from this particular situation with Paul and what he went through. And I want to remind everybody that what will really help us stay our best as believers is to continue to recognize who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. We are sons of God, right? We are his kids. And when you look through the church epistles, you know, Romans and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and on, there's a wealth of information that tells us who we are. You know, in our garage group this morning, that's what we did. The homework in coming to the fellowship was to pick out two things that from a list of many items that says who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so people shared which ones really meant the most to them. And so I thought I might share a little bit with you the two that meant the most to me. And so in Ephesians, if you want to look there, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And the Greek word for his workmanship is poema, which means masterpiece. It's like an artist paints a beautiful painting. It's a masterpiece. And so we are his masterpiece. We have been created in Christ Jesus. We are his masterpiece. So, you know, we got to picture ourselves. Now, you're going to laugh at this. We are like a Mona Lisa. Now, I know that sounds silly, but Mona Lisa is the most valuable painting probably in the world. Millions upon millions of dollars. It's a masterpiece. It's very special. Well, that's who you are before Christ, you know, and God Almighty. You are his masterpiece, created unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I'm thankful that God thinks I'm his masterpiece and that I can do his work. I can walk in that work. And then the other one that just kind of blows my mind is in Ephesians 1:12. And here in 1:12, if you just read the first three chapters of Ephesians, you'll see so many things you are in Christ as a believer. It's just loaded. And this verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So as believers, born again, we are to the praise of his glory. You know, what does somebody glory in? Well, some great accomplishment, probably, right? They would glory in that if they hit a home run or whatever, yeah. Or did some great work, they would glory in that. Well, God has done a great work in us, and when God looks at us, we're to the praise of his glory. In fact, he just brags on us to the angels. We are so special. We are so wonderful what God has done through Christ for us. And it takes a while for us as believers to get it, you know, to believe that, to really trust what God says who we are in Christ, that we are sons of God, that we are to the praise of his glory, that we are his masterpiece. And as long as we continue to grow with that, with our looking at our identity in Christ and who we are, we're going to do fine. I think we'll do real well. We'll have a wonderful walk with our Heavenly Father. And I know it's not easy to do that, because we've got emotions, we've got feelings, things happen, and situations occur that put us down. And so it's tough sometimes to really recognize who we are in Christ and how big that is. I'd like to play a song for you to close out the fellowship, and I want you to pay attention to the words, because this really spells out who we are in Christ and how we should recognize ourselves as children of God, sons of God. Okay, give me a little bit more time here to set this up so we can all see it. There we go. There we go.
I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Again, just who I am, because I need to know.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can believe exactly what you say who we are. That we're your sons, that you've called us out of darkness into your light, that we're seated in the heavenlies, that we have your forgiveness, we have your righteousness, we have all that Christ has accomplished for us, and we can just simply believe that, trust in you, have confidence in what you say and your word is true. So we're grateful, we're thankful, Father, that we can grab on to these realities of who we are in Christ, and that we can walk in these times and make available a righteous lifestyle for anybody that wants to believe, that wants to know you, that wants to be your child and see the greatness of your love manifested in their lives. So thank you for how you've made it all available through your Son. And we're just, again, thankful and grateful that we can be all that you've called us to be. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.